Lord, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, grateful hearts for all that you are. Lord, as we continue in our series in Hebrews, we just pray, Lord, that you would speak. You give me grace, God, to be able to expound the word in a way that's honoring to you, in the way that you would intend for your people to hear. So this morning, God, we just dedicate all things to you, and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. In the latter part of Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of this letter shares that some professing believers in Jesus Christ who claim to be saved, in fact, are not saved, as there is no genuine repentance associated with their faith claim. As such, when they acknowledge Jesus Christ with their lips, but deny him with their lifestyle. In fact, what they do is they trample on the shed blood of Jesus Christ and treat it as an unholy thing, when the blood of Jesus Christ is what saves us, cleanses us, and gives us life. So, the writer of Hebrews shared this information that the first part of what I went through last week to actually act as a contrast to spur on the genuine believers who are the receivers of this letter to say, folks, continue living your lives for Jesus. Don't be discouraged. You see, the believers that were the recipients of this letter in Hebrews, they had in fact proven their faith as authentic. Because when they became to believe, they went under extreme persecution. Some of them were beaten. Some of them were thrown in jail. They lost their jobs. They lost their properties. Everything that they had was on the line, and they served the Lord and did that with joy, despite all the trials and the persecution. But as you all know, we can have seasons, even in the midst of trials, where we're joyful. But the road is long, isn't it? Sometimes the road is long and we wear thin. We're only human. And these believers that the writer to Hebrews was addressing had been suffering for some time, and they were feeling discouraged. They were tempted to take some steps backwards, to go back to where they had come from, abandoning their once confident trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, tempted back to go back into the old ways of Judaism. At least that way they would experience family life like it was before they became believers. People would maybe give them a job back. There was all kinds of reasons why they were tempted to do this, but the writer wanted to remind his readers of the glorious promises of God, encouraging them to press on and persevere in their trust in God. And despite feeling weary from tribulation, they were not like those who did not have genuine saving faith. No, they didn't turn away from God to their own destruction. They were among those who had shown themselves faithful, demonstrating that they indeed belonged to the Lord and were saved. So that was the emphasis at the end of chapter 10. So we continue our study of this letter to the Hebrews, and we come to chapter 11, where the author moves from encouraging his readers to persevere in their faith to actually laying it out and defining the true nature of that faith. Would you please turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, to Hebrews 11, or follow along on the overhead. We're going to start reading with verse 1. The writer says, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see." See, nothing in this life is more to be desired than a hopeful outlook towards the future. You see, faith and hope, they're closely linked because the same things that are the object of our hope are the object of our faith. Faith is trusting that God has a firm commitment to fulfill all that he has promised through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And sometimes in life, when the road feels long and we're weary, it's easy for us to lose faith in God's promises and become discouraged. And that leads to us losing hope for the future. When we find ourselves in times such as these, and if you have not been through trials that lead you to this point, don't worry. They're going to visit you. You know, we don't skate through life without having to go through adversity. It's not the plan in this present state that we're in this fallen world that we're in. All of us are going to face adversity along the way. But it's good to be reminded that God promises that no matter what comes, that he is actually walking with us. And he is, in fact, carrying us when we can't carry ourselves. It's good to be reminded of God's promises. And this is the nature of authentic faith which leads us to be filled with hope. Because there's hope in the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit fills me, my life is filled with hope because the promises of God are stamped and imprinted upon the very fabric of my being. Now, let's talk about some of the promises of God this morning. The Word of God is filled with God's promises. I don't have time to go through all of them because we'd be here probably for weeks. But I'm going to talk about a couple of them. And the first thing that I wanted to say as a promise of God is that God promises us redemption through Jesus Christ. And it's good for us to remind ourselves of this on a daily basis. When we're going through our lives, to be thankful for what God has done in redeeming us and saving us. And this is why we participate in communion regularly. We're going to be doing that at the end of the service today, is to be reminded of what Jesus has done in redeeming us. See, while we were lost as a human race, we were lost in sin, all of us. God saw us bound like slaves to our sinful nature, but he had mercy on us. Out of compassion for us in our helpless estate, our Creator was born into this world and took on human flesh. He did this to save us, to set us free from eternal death, which is the result of our sin, and exchange this death with life. Eternal separation taken away, and eternal life put in its place. Salvation in heaven through him. Romans 6:23, we know this one if we've been a Christian for some time. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And with this good gospel message in mind, can't we be thankful this morning for redemption? That we can live our lives in freedom knowing that we have been redeemed. We are lost, but now we are found. We are at odds, at opposition to God, but now we're at peace with God. Beautiful. Philippians 3:14. Because of this, Paul said, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Jesus is calling us. That's beautiful. Secondly, the thing that I wanted to say about God's promise through Jesus is that we can enter his rest. This is not something we have to wait until heaven to receive. See, life in its turmoil is going to hit us full force at times. And God doesn't promise that we're going to skate through the turmoil. We're going to have to face it. But what he does promise is in the midst of the turmoil, we can turn our face towards him. And in the midst of our trying circumstances, there is peace. There is rest that he promises. Because when you trust the Lord and you believe that his promises are true, it doesn't matter what comes your way. You know what's going to be the final outcome. And this is beautiful, and that's why Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This is a promise for believers. So if you're not feeling that, I just let go and turn to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I want to place my trust in you. Spirit of the living God, help me. Help me to believe. Help me to have faith and trust in you. Help me to understand the temporary nature of the circumstances that I'm facing here in this world and to see the eternal glory that awaits." So, he promises us rest. But he also promises that his love is steadfast, faithful, and everlasting. The love of God has been given unto us. And consider what God said to Isaiah to tell the children of Israel. The same promise is good for us as well, because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is what he said: "For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy upon you." What a beautiful promise in Isaiah, isn't that? Also consider not only the love of God, which is poured out on us, but consider God's promise of protection. In Psalm 32:7, King David said of the Lord, "For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and I will watch over you." And the prophet Isaiah also says in Isaiah 43, verse 2, I like this one. I've been through this one. Maybe you have too. "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you." Folks, these are promises from God's word. We can trust that they are true and we can take them home with us. I pray that your heart will be encouraged. You might feel like you're in the middle of a battle that you can't win, but the Lord is with you. Place your trust in him and he will carry you through. There are so many other promises in God's word that give us hope when we believe. I could go on and on. But there's one more I'd like to mention. One more significant promise of God. You see, the world around us, because of its nature being given over towards wickedness and sin, the world is under the control of the power of the devil, the world in its system. And the devil acts, and his minions act like thieves, stealing love, joy, peace, and hope from multitudes, bringing them fear and death and hopelessness. And it leads people to despair. You can see it all around you. People that put a smile on their face, if you actually could see in behind the smile, you see despair. It's all around us. Not everybody, but a good portion of the world is living this way. And sometimes as Christians in our insulated environments, we forget how lost is. You know, I can't imagine not knowing Jesus in my life? And maybe you can't either. Maybe you've been living for Jesus for a long time, but don't ever think that the people down the road from you who don't know the Lord have the same hope that you do. They don't, and they need hope. That's what the church is meant to do. We're supposed to be a light in this world to bring the hope of salvation and the message of redemption to those that are without hope. And some of them are so blinded they don't even realize they need it. But that's why we're here, because when you walk in to their lives and you begin to share what Jesus has done in your life, they all of a sudden, the masquerade drops. You know, these people that seem so happy-go-lucky and confident out there at night stare at the ceiling and wonder what's going to happen to them. They don't know. There's a lot of fear, a lot of despair out there that we don't understand even. In sharp contrast to what the enemy brings and what sin and evil brings, the Lord Jesus not only promises redemption from death, spiritual life, loving comfort, support and protection, but he also promises abundant life for believers in him. The world thinks that they have abundant life when they're able to just go out and please the desires of their flesh. They think that's abundant life, and they actually look at Christians as though they're living like killjoy. Like, you Christians, you're so boring. Like, you're just so strict, and everything is like, don't do this, don't do that, don't do. That's how they think that we are. Some of the people that aren't believers. That we're just killjoy. But the reality is the opposite. There is no life like the road that leads to heaven. The peace of God, which transcends the understanding that guards our hearts and minds as believers in him, is such a beautiful thing. You know, in the 60s, there was a big movement for peace. You know, everyone's trying to find peace by casting themselves into depravity, thinking that they're going to find themselves out there somewhere in Eastern religion or find themselves out there in free love and all this stuff that was going on. And in fact, what it's done is just put people in chains of bondage. And Jesus offers abundant living, abundant life for us. Grab a hold of it. Live in the joy of the Lord. Don't allow the negativity that's around you to weigh you down. Just thank the Lord. Thank him whatever circumstances that you're in. Paul said that he learned the secret to contentment. What's the secret of contentment? To understand you're loved by God. You're not going to be abandoned. He is with you. He loves you, and he wants you to know him, and you can walk with him. This is beautiful. But Matthew 10:39, Jesus said, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. John 10:10, Jesus also says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. It's another translation. Rich and abundant life, rich and satisfying life. To those who put their trust in him, God promises in his written word. God promises that he's going to fulfill what he promises. His written word builds faith in us when we trust him. Faith comes by hearing from the word of God. So faith, Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. When you read the word of God and you look at what the promises are and you believe them and you say, Lord, help me in my unbelief. I want to trust in you. And we step out in faith. God meets us there every time. The promises I mentioned this morning are God's commitment to his people through Jesus Christ. And the Hebrews writer wants his readers to understand that faith in the Lord has always been necessary if we want to connect with God. We can't connect with God unless we have faith. Through faith, The writer of Hebrews says, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and that what we see now did not come from anything that can be seen. And just as our physical eyesight is the sense that gives evidence of material things, faith is the sense that provides us with the proof of the invisible, of the spiritual world. And the interesting truth is in that the nature of all things, that the spiritual world, when you think about it all, the spiritual world actually gave birth to the natural world because God is spirit. And he gave birth to the natural world. All people would do well to come to terms with this. Without faith, nobody will see God or the expanse of the unseen dominion that he has over created things. Natural reasoning is only going to take a person so far. For by faith we understand more of the formation of the world than man could ever do by examining through the naked eyes underneath a microscope, measuring things in a laboratory. The grace of faith enables us to have a retrospective view, looking back on what God has done supernaturally and what he has revealed to us through his word in the past. Thankfully, there are so many stories in the Bible recorded for us of those who stepped out and believed God and what faith has brought, and what faith brought to them as a result. And the same God who is with them and who is pleased with their step of faith is the same God that calls us to believe. See, they have left us a legacy of what it means for humanity to put their trust in him. Revisiting these stories that God has given to us in his word, talking about the faithful dealings of God with his people, those things bring us to true perspective and a view of things promised by God for the future as well. God's true to his word. If we trust in him, this is the result. If we deny him, this is the result. If we act in the flesh, this is the result. If we act according to the Spirit in obedience, this is the result. The Bible is full of it. And the writer to Hebrews here focuses the rest of his energy on talking about the legacy of faith that the Scriptures lay out. So we're just going to read it and then comment on it after. What does he say? The writer to Hebrews says, starting with verse 4, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Though Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Verse 5, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Hear that? It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in his tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so the whole nation came from this one man who was good as dead, a nation with so many people like the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. There is no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and they welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on the earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country that they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessing for his future sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on a staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground, but when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had been friendly, given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned into strength. They become strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning, some were sawn in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All of these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Wow. What a legacy that the writer of Hebrews leaves. What a legacy that he is of faith that he has just recited for us. I'd like for us to retrospectively, when we look at this, reflect on something that all these Bible stories of the past bring to us. All these stories of faith that were recorded here, and the ones that he didn't mention, all point towards the prospect of a glorious future where God is united with his people and where we live together with him in unity for all eternity. See, faith leads us to believe that God by nature is good and that he is faithful to his promises. And God commended those of the Old Testament era placing their trust in him. They've earned a good reputation because of this and become heroes of the faith, patriarchs of our faith, setting the stage for the faith that we have in God today. When we examine the Old Testament saints, we see their their triumphs, their thrilling triumphs and their tremendous trials. Yet, all these saints of old, kids, you read them in all the stories in the Bible, did you know that they are not as privileged as what we are? Everything that the saints were doing and putting their trust in God was looking to the future at what God was going to do in redeeming the human race through the Messiah that would come. And we were on the other side of that. You see, they were on one side of it, and everything that they were looking for was pointing towards the cross. And now everything that we've experienced points back to the cross, and we can be thankful. For they would have longed to see the day that we see. You see, the new covenant that Christ has accomplished and put in place through his blood, by giving his blood, right? And cleansing us from our sin, that's far superior to what they experienced under the old covenants. The Old Testament saints didn't receive the fulfillment of God's promises of his Messiah being sent in the world to make the tabernacle that they had on the outside, to make that obsolete and to move that tabernacle into our very spirit, into the very center of our being. Where Jesus now is as close as the mention of his name. The Holy Spirit was given because Jesus cleansed the heart of a person that it believes in him and receives him. That person's heart is clean to make room for the temple of God to be inside of us. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Those saints of old were wanting that so much. It was all exterior to them, and they're pursuing it. But we have a better thing that God has done. God had something better in mind for us. And they were looking forward in anticipation to how God was going to do this. This is why the writer of Hebrews tells us that God had something better in mind. They had reason to hold on to faith. Don't be discouraged in your walk. You have a much greater disposition that's been given. A much greater revelation of God than even the Old Testament saints and all those wonderful stories had. Sometimes I think we don't hear the voice of God because we're dulled to it because of what we're up to. We're not living maybe the right way. And, you know, God saves us by grace through faith, through the blood of Jesus. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. But, you know, if we decide that we're not going to be obedient, there's distance in our relationship with God. We are like a son living in a land far away from his father. It doesn't have to be that way. All you have to do is say, Lord, I just want to be close to you. Would you just take me back? Renew my first love for you, Lord. Forgive me for the waywardness of my attitudes and help me to love you, Lord. We can't have faith without God helping us to have faith. And he wants us to believe. He really does. That's why he gives us the instructions to return when we're wandering. Now, when we look at our faith through this lens, all the promises of God become a reality. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in life's stuff that we forget that just like that, we're going to be on the other side of this reality. Whether Jesus comes back soon, and he's coming back soon. Like the Lord is coming back soon. The signs are out there. It's everywhere. But even if we're taken away from this body and we experience death in the physical and are ushered in before him. It's just like that, folks. We have very little time. And kids, you might think you have your whole life ahead of you. Well, old people, you could probably attest to this, that your life went like that, didn't it? It just went like that. We don't have very long. And the Lord knows it. And he's given us provision to live for him and to be a light in the darkness of this world and to share the hope of salvation with the people that are out there. And as a community of believers, we love one another, because by this all men shall know that we are belong to the living God by the way that we love one another. Amen? So, viewing things from this perspective can be a source of hope for us. If you're feeling like you're low in hope, look into the Word. Look at the promises of God and ask him to show you how those promises are true. And he'll give you faith. And he'll give you hope for the future. I know that we all need that, don't we? Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the hope that there is in you. Thank you, Lord, that you did what you have done to bring us hope for the future. God, help us in our unbelief. We can't work this up ourselves, Lord. We need you. We're your children, and we've been saved by grace through your Holy Spirit's indwelling. But Lord, we want to be close to you. We just don't want to be marginally committed. We want to be close to you, Lord. Would you just deal with anything that we have in our hearts that needs to be dealt with?